Tonight, I want to continue in relation to the spiritual warfare series, and we are talking last time and tonight about words, and Ron was sharing about the scripture, I create the fruit of the lips, and indeed, God does. We have creative power to bring life and blessing and light from God himself into the lives of the people. And God wants us to do that. Now, last week, we said there are three types of words that we speak. We looked at the first two types of words that we speak. Idle words are just normal conversation. We all participate in normal conversation. And so, those things, the Bible does say that we will be judged by our words, even our idle words. How that judgment is, I trust will not be too strict. because much of what we say doesn't have eternal meaning. But when our will is involved, we either are going to will the will of the enemy and speak evil, which brings death and destruction, or we are going to will the will of God, join our will with his will, and begin to speak, if it's in our heart. Now, we begin with our will. We either receive the will of the enemy or the will of the Lord in the Word of God, and then as we speak, now, we actually need to speak to get the will of the Lord and the word of the Lord in our hearts. It's in our spirits. Because if the word of the Lord is in my mind only, it isn't at a place where it's going to create. But if the will of the Lord is in my heart, as I speak it, that's how I get it in my heart. I confess, saying the same thing God has said. Confession means saying the same thing God has said. And so I am to confess my sin, what God has said about my sin, and I am to confess what God has said in his word about who I am.
Hallelujah.
So, I mean, no one would be in bondage if they believed what God said about who they are. It's when we confess things that we think or others have told us about us, and they speak those things and we receive those things, if they're not consistent with the Word of God, they're lies.
Amen.
And lies get put immersed into bondage.
Amen.
So, the curse, when we speak with our will and get it in our heart, when we speak the will of the enemy, we bring curse. When we speak the will of God, we bring blessing.
Praise the Lord.
So, we were talking last time about the idle words and especially about the words of evil. When we're speaking things that are not God's will, the will of the enemy, because Satan's will is always the opposite of God's will. In Satan worship, they do things backwards. They read the Bible backwards. They promise to commit the seven deadly sins. I mean, Satan doesn't have any original ideas. He just mocks God by speaking and getting us to act and speak so that we will line up our will and our mind, but especially our will and our heart, so that we speak curse and death. And we said last time how in James, the tongue, I mean, when we speak, it even marks. It doesn't just hurt us in our spirit or our soul, our emotions, or our mind. It hurts us physically when we are cursed that way. Now, tonight, we want to speak about willful speaking of blessing because we bring blessing and life when we get the word from our mind into our hearts. We will it. We have to will the will of God. See, Jesus always willed the will of God. He's the only man. He was a man as well as God. And he's the only man who ever always willed the will of God. No other person that's ever lived, who lived as a human being, as Jesus did, ever always willed the will of the Father. He said one time, "Why do you call me good? For only my Father in heaven is good." So Jesus is not good as a person. I am not good. You are not good. Unless I join my will with His will, I receive that into my heart, not just my mind, as truth. When it gets in my heart, I know I'm a spirit. I know it's true. And then I begin to speak, and then I release blessing, life.
Hallelujah.
And we are meant to release blessing and life. Now, all of that comes in the covenant concept, and I want to begin tonight looking at the first part of Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to read a number of verses here, because to understand this, well, remember we said last time, well, when you look at God's name, Yahweh, which is Lord in English, or Elohim is God in English. Yahweh, the great I am that I am, He has no beginning, He has no end. And then Elohim, the one God, who is plural, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In covenant, all light and blessing and light from life is within the covenant of the Father with the Son and the Holy Spirit. But when we receive Christ, we enter in and we speak. That's why you are to confess. When you receive Christ, I hope that you prayed a prayer that you spoke. Because you are to speak what's in your heart in order to enter into the kingdom, to receive Christ. You are to confess. I believe that Jesus died. I believe He rose from the grave. I believe He ascended to the right hand of the Father. I believe He took my sins. I believe He took all my sicknesses, all of the bondage. I believe that He took them, and therefore I receive them by faith. I speak that. And I'm speaking, allowing the life, because we're the only part of the creation. We're made in the image of God in a number of ways, but one way is we're the only part of the creation that can speak. And so God wants us to be full of speaking blessing. Now we begin with Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? By the word bewitching here would indicate Satan may be involved. In fact, Satan tries to bewitch us, as it were, to get us to not realize that what God has spoken is true eternally forever. See, we don't see it happen. We don't see the Bible happening always in our lives. And therefore, and we see a lot of other things other than the Bible, as some pagans seem to get blessed to us in a material sense. And so sometimes we get confused. Sometimes the enemy is bewitching us almost. Before our eyes, Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Paul's practical. I want to find out, Galatians, I want Christians, I want to find out from you. This is what I want to find out. Did you receive this by the Spirit, by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Now, this whole passage is indicating that when God gave the law did not cause people to receive blessing or give blessing. The law defines sin. The law gave the law. You see, when there is a law, there is no sin. There is no such thing as right or wrong without an absolute eternal standard. That's why the pagans in the world today deny that there is any eternal truth. Because if there's no eternal truth, then I'm the judge. Yep. Whatever I think, whatever you think, you're your own God, do your own thing.
Yep.
See, but God has given the law to define sin. The law was not given in order to make people perfect. We're going to look at this as we go along. Or to make people moral. The law was given so that you will know this is wrong, this is right. And there's an eternal standard forever. God has not amended the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
And be assured, He's not going to amend them. He's not going to put an addendum.
Nope.
Not one jot nor tittle, Jesus says,
nope,
of the law. And when Jesus brought the law of love from the Old Testament so that some of the punishments of the Old Testament didn't come into the New Testament, He still didn't change the basic law, not one jot or tittle of the law, which was to find sin. And see, if we don't know we're sinners, we don't know we need Jesus.
Amen.
That's why the liberals, who call themselves Christians, I'm not saying all people who call themselves liberal now, but liberal Christians try to define away sin. Well, this is relative to this, and this doesn't apply because, and so, yes, all of the scripture applies, people.
You better know.
All the scripture applies.
Yes, sir.
The word applies. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the Lord, by hearing with faith? Well, it was hearing by faith. Now, when did you first receive the Spirit? Well, when you got born again. If you didn't have the Holy Spirit come upon you and in you, you were never born again.
Right.
Because being born again doesn't mean that you just believe in your mind. That's why for years I was in the church when I was very young, but I wasn't born again until I was 31, because I just thought, just believing with my mind, and I did believe that Jesus died and Jesus was raised, and I believed all these things in my mind. But James says, you know, you believe God is one, and the demons believe and tremble. You know, the demons know. Satan knows there's a God.
Better believe.
Does that make him a Christian?
No.
Hard, right? Because, you see, I must not only believe these things with my mind, but I must receive the Word into my heart. And when the Holy Spirit, I must receive Jesus. Well, who comes to bring Jesus? The Holy Spirit brings Jesus. And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, comes into my heart. And I'm born again, born from above by the Holy Spirit. I'm born from above by the Holy Spirit. So Paul's saying, that's how you began. Now what are you doing? Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Have begun by the Holy Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Can you receive the Holy Spirit by faith? You have to. By the way, on this whole passage, you can't walk in faith unless you walk in the Holy Spirit. You can't walk in the Holy Spirit unless you walk in faith. These are interchangeable things. And walk, you don't even have the ability to exercise faith. It's a gift. Who brings the gift of the Holy of faith? Is the Holy Spirit from the Father and the Son who brings the gift of faith. So that you can then exercise that faith and speak and confess and be born again. Now, if you've begun that way, what he's saying was, what are you Christians? You began and you had this Holy Spirit and you were born again and you came into covenant and you've been blessed in that covenant. Now do you think the rest of your Christian life you're going to work it out yourselves? In your own flesh? Did you suffer some anything in vain, if indeed was in vain? I mean, the sufferings and persecution come along so that you will continue in faith and continue and know that you have to have the Holy Spirit. I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit every day. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit every day to live everyday life.
Yeah.
You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. You need to be full of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. Every day. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's not yours. Does he then, verse 5, who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, do it by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Now, the method of the law in this whole passage, the method of the law is what I do for God. And when you fall into that method of the law, I'm saved now. Now, God, what do you want me to do? Boy, I'm ready. And I'm going to go do great things for you. Well, the moment you think you are going to go do great things for God, you've fallen away from faith, you've fallen away from the work of the Holy Spirit, and you will bring curse on yourself and on other people unless you repent of that. Now you have an opportunity to repent of that. But you must repent of that method. There must be constantly, if you are to receive blessing, you see, you have to receive blessing to give blessing. And blessing only comes inside covenant by faith and the work of the Holy Spirit. And again, you can't walk in the Spirit unless you walk in faith. You can't walk in faith unless you walk in the Spirit. So, even Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Well, Abraham is the example here. Because he believed God that he'd have Isaac, but not just Isaac, descendants of the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky, who would enter into the same covenant. You and I are descendants of Abraham. He's still getting descendants. Because we are believing and receiving and confessing and receiving the blessing of eternal life. And you know, Abraham was righteous when he believed, and you were righteous when you believe. Not when you receive something, you're righteous when you believe it. You're in right standing. He's in right standing with God. You are in right standing with God when you believe. The moment you believe it. If it's a day later, a month later, a year later, 10 years later, your whole lifetime, before you receive, and by the way, there are some things you won't receive till you get into heaven, but most of them are supposed to be received down here on the earth, because he says, pray, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. So, God loves it when you believe and you haven't received anything. And that's the essence of faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The evidence not seen. We must live according to what we don't see physically, but what our heart sees and knows, made alive by the Spirit of God. And I speak according, that's what a spirit of faith is in 1 Corinthians. I speak according to what the Word says, not according to what I see with my physical eyes, or sense or feel. And so many Christians, and who knows, I only God knows who's going to make it into heaven, but so many Christians get saved and seem to forget about, this is why he's talking to the Galatians, forget about the method of faith. And it's the only way to receive more blessing and to give more blessing. Then we'll be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And faith is a gift again. The Holy Spirit gives it. You must receive it. You must confess. See, this is how to become a blessing. And you must have faith from the Holy Spirit, and as you receive that, so that you are not following the method of the law, where you know you can't do anything for God. I mean, it has any eternal meaning at all. You can't do anything for God. But God, through you, as you receive His word, His life, His blessing, as you speak it, then His life, His blessing, will flow through you. And the purpose of it is for your receiving that blessing to give it away. What you receive, you give away. By the way, you can't give away. If you give away what's in your flesh, you're going to give away curse and death. But if you give away what you received of His life and blessing, you're going to give away life and blessing. And God doesn't save you mainly in order to keep you out of hell. He saves you so you can receive His life and blessing and let it flow so that it'll flow to let others receive
the same
life and blessing.
Hallelujah.
Verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. And the Jews couldn't believe this at first. The Gentiles, that means everyone else. That means all the people in the world who will believe and confess and receive. And receive life and receive blessing. He will justify them. Justification by faith, just as if we never sinned. After we come into this life, God doesn't even see the sin we were in before. He acts as if it's gone. By faith, preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all nations shall be blessed in you. All the nations around the world are going to be blessed in Abraham. You see why? Of course, the Jewish nation has been unfaithful, and God has had to judge them over and over and over. One day, after the final persecution of the Jews, then the nation of Israel, at least the remnant that will believe in Jesus,
They
will be saved, and they will become a part of the entire body, and all the people who believe will become a part of the entire body.
Praise.
And bring blessing. I mean to tell you, I mean that last great revival that's coming. I mean there are going to be Messianic saved Jews and others all around the world. And I believe the Messianic Jews are going to be at the head of the army of God. And you talk about blessing. I mean,
there is coming blessing that will overwhelm all the curse and death. I mean death and curse will be swallowed up in life and blessing.
Praise.
Don't worry about all the judgment. Don't worry about all the bad things and the evil things. I mean the life and the blessing of the covenant God will swallow it literally. If you will believe and receive. So then, you who have faith are blessed. Are you blessed? Do you know you're blessed? I'll tell you more about the meaning of blessing here in a minute. For as many who as are the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide in all the things written in the book of the law. And what Paul is trying to say, even the Ten Commandments become a curse. If you think that the Ten Commandments were given so that you can, I'm going to try my best. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to keep the Sabbath. You see, that method will make it certain that even if you violate one little portion of one commandment, you're guilty of violating the whole law. But in faith, through Jesus, he became a curse. We'll read that. He became the curse so that the law defines the sin, so you need to repent, and then you repent and you receive Christ, and then the life and the blessing of God come within you. Now, no one is justified by the law. See, the law, later we don't have time to read it. But the sin of the leaven of the Galatians, there are five types of leaven. The leaven of the Galatians is the leaven of performance. To think that you have to perform, you better perform. Here's the Ten Commandments. Well, you better perform all those commandments or you're in trouble, brother. You can't. And so one of the religious spirits I'll teach more on later in these teachings. Is the religious spirit of the Corinthians or of the Galatians, which is a spirit of performance. Legalism. If I do this, 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 and don't do this, 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 I'm holy. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. You are only holy when you are holy His.
Yeah.
And when His holiness and His life and His blessing is in you and it flows out of you, so the other can receive that life and blessing. No one is justified by the law before God, as is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. There it is again. Right standing with God is only by faith. Not after you've received something, but before you receive it, you know. The word is true. You will receive it if you will confess it and believe it. First you get it in your heart, and when it's in your heart, you confess it, and then God will release His love and power and life. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, here's the great thing. In this covenant concept, when He died, He didn't just die to take our sins or to take our sicknesses. He took the curse of the law, for we can't fulfill it in our own strength, and He became a curse as we receive His word, because when we receive His word, that's Jesus. Jesus is the word become flesh. And we receive His life, and we receive His word, and we act on it, and therefore that life flows out of us and touches others. In order that Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so it might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so God wants you to receive the Spirit when you are saved by faith. And then He wants you to receive the Holy Spirit by being baptized in the Holy Spirit. A lot of churches don't teach baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus does. He told the disciples, John baptized with water, you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Wait in Jerusalem till you receive it. He didn't say this is some lecture. He said, you wait. I'm going to give it. And you need to receive it. He told them in John 20. Receive ye, he told them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He didn't say if you feel like it. He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And they were already born again, the Holy Spirit had come. And then after we're baptized in the Spirit, and the Spirit is flowing, we need to walk in the Spirit every day. We need to have the anointing of the Spirit, so that we can become a blessing. So we are redeemed from the curse of the law through death and resurrection of Christ, and then we receive his life, we receive his blessing, and that blessing flows through us. By the way, verse 16 says, now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. It's not seeds, plural, it's seed. Seed, singular. And he does not take the seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and your seed, that is Christ. Christ is the Word. When you receive the promise of the Word, you have Christ in you. Any verse that you receive as true in you, I'm healed. That's Christ. And Christ is who heals you. When I was healed of cancer 30 years ago, it was the Word, and God spoke the Word and said, you were healed. But that was Jesus in me. And Jesus in me did the healing. And it wasn't the great faith I had, because Jesus gave the faith. We just have to believe and receive, believe and receive, believe and receive, believe and receive. And speak, because a part of acting is joining our will, but also speaking. Now, next, I want to talk about what it really means to be blessed or receive blessing, and what are blessings, and what is it to be blessed? Oh, I remember well, we used to say when we read the King James, blessed, rather than just saying blessed. Blessedness. Now, I'm going to quote again. I've done this a number of times, but I'm going to quote again the first part of the Declaration of Independence, because the founders were Christians, or most of them were, and all of them who were not Christians believed in a biblical concept of morality. Even a Jefferson or a Franklin believed in a biblical concept of morality. And when this is what they said, we hold these truths. Now, they understood that there was basic truth, absolute, and it was scriptural. Scripture is the key to that truth. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Self-evident means the evidentness of the truth is within you from God. God made it evident to you within you. No one said this is true or this. No, it's not some outside source. In fact, there can be no truth without, unless it be absolute truth, and the only absolute truth can come from God himself. We know these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. The great reason for the blessing of God on America, which is now lifting, because we don't understand these things anymore, is because we followed the Word. We know these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. Men, women, I mean, the Bible doesn't teach that women are not equal with man. It's just the matter of how that's carried out. But there's no basic inequality between men. There's no basic inequality between races. There's no basic inequality. We know these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. And endowed, given. Endowment is a giving, totally giving. Endowed by their creator. By God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not man. For certain inalienable rights are rights that cannot be bought, sold, bartered, because they come from the eternal God. Our whole experiment in government, the only reason we have great freedom, and spiritual freedom is before every other kind of freedom, is because we had a belief in a creator who had given rights, and we knew that government didn't grant rights, it only guaranteed the rights that God had given us. And that's why we've been free, and that's why we're losing our freedom. Because we now imagine that government can provide for all of our needs. I see it moving. That's what socialism was about, communism was about, radical liberalism. I mean, all kinds of movements through history have brought that men provided, governments provided. And when governments began to provide, they began to play God. And when they began to play God, they began to be cursed. and they bring curse on people underneath them. So we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, and bound by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are the right to life and liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, life is obvious, liberty is obvious, pursuit of happiness is not. But this is where the Beatitudes come in. This is where blessing comes in. Because pursuit of happiness is a bad translation. It ought to be pursuit of blessedness. Because the English word happy is not a good translation. It comes from the Latin beatus. The word does. Which means something given, and in this case, by God Himself. And so God gives us life and gives us blessing. So, to pursue happiness is to join our will with the blessedness and the life and the love of God, and to pursue it by willing our will to believe it and receive it. And then when it's given by God, we don't pursue it and grab it. We pursue it by joining our will with God's will. And then God gives it, and He gives His life, and He gives His blessing. Now, man, when you've been blessed by God, you don't understand what kind of blessing you are in. I mean, this is the real meaning of blessing. It's the state of a believer in Christ. Anyone outside Christ is in curse and can't be blessed. You hear me? No one outside of Christ can be blessed. You may have a drinking party or get high on drugs and think you're happy, but you're not blessed. You're not blessed. Blessing comes only if the state of the believer indwelt by Christ. The word, here's the word, indwelt by the word, indwelt by Christ. Fully satisfied. You ever eat a good meal? You didn't overeat. You ate just the right amount. It's nice and warm. And materially and physically, you're satisfied. But spiritually, this is a state of the believer indwelt by Christ, being fully satisfied, full of His life, full of His blessing, equivalent of having Jesus in you, the Father in you, the Holy Spirit in you, equivalent of having God's kingdom life in you. You in Him, but He in you. This is, how can I speak it? I run out of words to speak. What blessing, what blessedness. Now go with me to the Sermon on the Mount. Now you may understand more about the Beatitudes. Because the Beatitudes, in fact, the Lord told me at night I was going to teach this and not include this, and the Lord said, put this in there. And He told me what to put in. I mean, He said, put the Beatitudes in there. I said, okay, Lord, we'll put the Beatitudes in there. Chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 2. And opening His mouth, He began to teach them, saying, Blessed, you're blessed. This is how you... And all these things are ways to take the cross, because the full blessing of God, it will come only as you die out to yourself and come alive to receive all of the blessings and the life that God has promised. If you will receive it and act and confess, and when you act, you always confess. So blessed if you're poor in spirit. Well, what this really means is that I have nothing in myself, but I have everything in Christ. Nothing in myself, everything in Christ, all things in Christ. all that God has promised I have if I'm poor in spirit. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This mourning is in grief, it's compassion, it's because suffering, the world is full of tragedy and suffering, and we are not to laugh when we come into touch with, we are to weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. Led by the Holy Spirit of God. These are all things that can happen only as by faith we allow the Holy Spirit to do these things in us. We cannot do these things. You cannot, I believe, you know, I believe we can't follow the Sermon on the Mount unless we are saved and the Holy Spirit comes. And then I believe we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit flowing in order to carry these out, because He has to carry them out in us.
Right.
His life in us, His blessedness in us. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. In other words, we are to mourn with those who mourn, weep with those who weep. Led by the Holy Spirit of God, having compassion for them. And be comforted. And this comes from the word for the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. So the Holy Spirit will come in the worst of suffering and tragedy. The Holy Spirit will come if you receive Him. And He will comfort you. And that comfort can flow from you to comfort others who may not know Him. In fact, as they receive that comfort, they may be brought into Christ themselves if they are not. Verse 5. Blessed are the gentle. The better word here is meek. And meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is a humility. One writer says it's an inwrought grace of the soul to accept everything that God has allowed to come in my life without resentment, and to be joyful. An inwrought grace of the soul, again, an inwrought grace of the soul from the Holy Spirit, where I am able to receive whatever happens. I can resist Satan, but whatever God has allowed, I allow through the power of the Holy Spirit a meekness to receive, and meekness is strong. It's not weak, it's the opposite of weakness. The world doesn't understand. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, satisfied. I mean, completely satisfied. That's that blessing. Completely satisfied. If you hunger and thirst for right standing with God, and again, right standing with God is I will, God's will. And I say, Lord, I will that your will be done. And I believe what you say before I see it. And I don't have to see it, I believe it. If you've spoken it, I believe it. This is verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. This is tender compassion. Compassion to suffer along with. You cannot suffer. I pray for the people in Vietnam, the pastors imprisoned in Vietnam and Cambodia. I've been there, and I've seen some of those pastors, and I know some of them have been imprisoned, and I pray for them every day. And I pray for the persecuted church ever since 1967, every day of my life. And can I have compassion for them? Yes, only, however, if the Holy Spirit comes and puts into my heart a love and compassion for them. Because I can't have compassion. I can't suffer along with it unless the Holy Spirit allows me to do so. And then mercy will come on you, and mercy and compassion will flow in your life and will touch other people's lives. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. The pure in heart is to be pure in heart and intention, and in motive. God judges the intention and the motive of the heart. Not always what we do, but what our intent and motive. Only God knows our intent and our motive. And only the Holy Spirit can give you a purity of heart. You can have your heart purified by faith. That's one of the works of the Holy Spirit. He'll write the law of love in your heart. And if you will allow that law of love to continually flow by faith and ask for the anointing of that purity of heart, that purity of intention, you'll begin to see what God sees. You begin to hear what God speaks. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the sons of God. Now, peace, literally, in the Greek word, means to set at one. To set at one. And so he wants you to be a unifier. He doesn't want you to speak things that will cause your brother to be divided. Now, you speak the truth. And if you speak the truth and someone resents it, you still have to stand with the truth. And you cannot deny the truth for the sake of it's a false unity when you deny the truth of the word. Because the truth of the word is the only way that men are going to be unified in the end times, and the people who will not receive the word will be apostates and fall away. But there will be a great unity of believers all around the world who believe the word and act on the word, and there will be a unification of the entire church. And that's what peace is. See, when governments use force to defeat another country and they sign a peace treaty, that's not Holy Spirit peace. You know why men haven't continued in war? Do you know why most nations sign peace treaties? Because one completely defeats the other.
Right.
Why is there no peace treaty between the Palestinians and the Jews? Because no one has totally defeated the other. And believe me, there will be no peace treaty that will stop this conflict. It will only be Jesus. It will only be the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And then it closes this way. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed if you're persecuted for the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Now believe me, none of these things can you follow without the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And you are completely then blessed and fully satisfied, but there's a lot of things going to test whether you really believe that. Blessed are you when men revile you, curse you, and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil. And the Greek word for evil, as we said last week here, is rhema. A word. A word of curse spoken is the heart of evil. A word. But when I speak the blessing of God from the word of God, it brings life and they are blessed. So don't give them your opinion in your mind. Give them the word of God. Rejoice and be glad. For your reward in heaven is great. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Now, turn to Matthew 7. Because there's some more about speaking words of blessing. And some more about what it means. What blessing means. What blessedness is. We've tried to define that. Now, here's what Jesus says. And you will notice, in fact, a lot of my teaching, whenever possible, I use Jesus' words. Because, I don't know about you, but I hold his words in higher regard than Paul's. I think they were spoken under the anointing of the Spirit. I think Matthew was spoken under the anointing of the Spirit. But I hold Jesus' words. Because he is the Word. He knows it all. I mean, he's the eternal Word. He's the eternal life. He's the eternal high priest. He's the eternal redeemer. He's the eternal king. He's the eternal high priest. Hallelujah. Matthew 7. Now, here's something that you have to watch now. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So he's now speaking about some people who claim to be in the kingdom, and some may think they are in the kingdom. By the way, another parable indicates that the tares will remain in the field until the harvest. And the tares are agents of Satan. And there are agents of Satan in the so-called outward kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Right? And you leave them there because you don't know. Only God knows. We don't. We don't make such judgments. God will make the judgment at the end, at the time of the harvest. He'll make the judgment. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In other words, the key here is you must will the will of the Father. As we said earlier, as you join your will with God's will, then you let that word of truth and the word of Jesus for healing, for deliverance, whatever it is, you get it in your heart, and it brings life and blessedness, and you are blessed, and then you, once it's in your heart, then you speak it, not just in your mind, but in your heart, in your spirit. Then you speak it, and then God allows the life of God to flow, and someone else receives the life. They get healed, they get delivered, they get saved, they get filled with the Spirit. They get that life. They get that blessing. But what's happening here is something else. It's people who are not following the will of the Lord, but they are speaking. Many will say, they're speaking. Many will say, on that day, Lord, born, did we not prophesy in your name? Okay, they're supposedly prophesying. Remember, they're false prophets. And they're going to grow and grow and grow. And in your name, cast out demons. Okay, they practiced exorcism. Well, the sons of Zeba tried to cast out demons. Didn't turn out too well for them. And in your name, performed many miracles. Are there satanic miracles? Yes. Can there be a mixture? And this is something I don't pretend to give you an answer to. I've seen a mixture. I've seen examples. I've read about examples. For people to fall away from the Lord, but supernatural miracles are still occurring.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't pretend. I remember one story in Cambodia years ago, and a revival in Cambodia in the 1980s, and an American missionary, and they said a Cambodian had gotten saved and baptized in the Spirit, and had a miracle ministry, and he was performing tremendous things and winning people by the Lord. And the Lord spoke to them and said, this man is in sin. The Lord told him. So they went up there and they found he was living with another man's wife. So they confronted him. And he said, well, the Lord says this is all right. Because we are still seeing people saved. We're still feeling. Today I laid hands on, and there was a big goiter on a woman's neck, and it disappeared. And I said, we're sorry. We cannot have any fellowship with you, and we cannot support you. You're living in sin. So, there are many things we don't understand. But Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You're outside the law of God. And the only way you're inside the law of God, fulfilling the law of God, is by faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And, by the way, there are going to be a lot of demonic miracles. But demonic miracles will always bring people into bondage. In fact, I prayed with a woman who had received a healing, and then about a month later, she lost that healing. And now I'm wondering whether, I'm reflecting on it, I'm wondering whether there wasn't some other things mixed in at that meeting she was in, where she received healing, where there were some things that caused her to lose her healing. Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and acts on them, and acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it burst against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on a rock. Jesus is the rock. He is the cornerstone. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them. And by the way, when you act on the word of God, you are going to be getting it in your heart and in your spirit. It's going to be made alive by the Holy Spirit of God. And you're going to speak. You're going to speak on the basis. Before you see, you're going to speak on the basis of what the Word says and what God has put in your heart. And God will fulfill. If it's in your heart, God will fulfill what He said. The problem here is He won't always fulfill it in the way and the time we want. And we get tripped up on our faith. More often, it's a question of time than any other thing. And And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now, I won't take time, because I don't have time to read this passage, but in Matthew 8, in the story about the centurion, Jesus came, and this was a man, he was a soldier by profession, and he had a servant that was dying, and so he asked Jesus if he would touch him. And Jesus spoke to him, and the centurion said, "Well, Jesus, I'm a man under authority. I say to one, he goes, and another, he comes back, and I say to another, I give this order and that order, and they do it. Just say the word. Just say the word. Just say the word. The word. And my servant will be healed." And Jesus said, "I've never seen such faith in all Israel." Can you take this word? Can you take this word and here's a promise? Here's a promise for healing, here's a promise for deliverance. Can you let God speak that through the power of the Holy Spirit of God and get that in your heart so you know it's true before you see it, and you confess it, and you know that you know that you know that God will bring blessing and life to you and to others through that word? He will do it. He will do it. And by the way, in that passage, there are sons of the kingdom who will be sent into outer darkness because they don't have that kind of faith. Sent into outer darkness because they don't have that kind of faith. You say, "I can't have that faith." No, I can't either, but you can receive it. Will you be like a little child? Will you be like a little child? Will you believe what he says? It's simple, but yet it's very, very difficult to become as little children. Jesus says you can't enter the kingdom except you can become as little children. And you can't keep no walk unless you remain as a little child. And a little child who's not abused, a little child who is loved, will trust anything their mother or father tells them. Absolutely.
Praise God.
And that's the kind of faith. I remember a story a missionary told 25 years ago in chapel. She didn't even believe in divine healing. Well, she believed that it occurred in the Bible, but she hadn't seen it. And they translated the book of James, and the chief of the tribe, where she was, somewhere in Southeast Asia, they translated James, and he came to the missionary and said, his son was dying, by the way, his young son was dying. Is this God's word? Is any sick among you? Call for the elders of the church. And with all prayer, the prayer of faith, lays up the sick, they've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven him. Is this the word of God? And I said, yes. Oh, praise God. Oh, thank you. Let's go and pray. My son's going to be healed.
Yeah.
And she didn't know what to do. And she didn't have that faith, but he did, and he went, and he was healed. And she did witness to that in chapel. Now, let me read Mark 11. I have one key verse in Mark 11, and then I'll go to one other key scripture for tonight. In Mark 11, Jesus is speaking again. Most of these things tonight are from Jesus. Have faith in God. Kind of simple, isn't it? Have faith in God. I mean, he's got life and blessing. Are you blessed? Is this blessedness in you? Are you joyful because this life and blessing is in you? Truly I say to you, whoever speaks to this mountain, a mountain is symbol of the mountain of opposition that Satan and the world and the values of the world and the thinking of the world will come against you. I mean, Satan, listen, you don't know how you haven't been in a struggle until you believe the word of God and you know in your heart that God has done that and God will bring life and blessing and he will allow that life and blessing to flow out of you. And Satan will come against you. I mean, he will come against you with everything he's got to bring tribulation and pressure on your spirit, on your soul, on your body. So you will not believe the word.
I wish I had time to tell you some of the things that the enemy did to me. I remember G.C. Bellington one time had a vision that a well that had never had water in the summertime in the month of July. The Lord told him it would have water, and so he believed it would have water, and it would have over 2 feet of water. And so he got up in the middle of the night, the enemy woke him up, and the stars were shining, and there was not a sign of a cloud. And the devil said to him, "See, it's not going to rain. You can't have any water." And the baby said, "Mr. Devil, I didn't ask for rain. I asked for 2 feet of water." He got up in the morning, he put the bucket down, and the bucket went under the water, and it was 2 foot 8 inches or something like that. He didn't measure it, someone else measured it. He wouldn't measure it. Be taken up and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart. You gotta have it in your heart. It doesn't say you get anything you pray for. You can't just confess the word and have it. But what the Holy Spirit puts in your heart, you blessed. I mean, you've got mercy. You are standing in righteousness. I mean, it's in your heart. And then you speak. And by the way, it says forgive. You've got to forgive. Now, I close with Luke 4. I use this a lot. I used it a lot here. There are certain verses I quote a lot. But they're important. And this one is extremely important. And it's Jesus' words again. I hadn't actually looked at this to realize how almost all of it is actually Jesus' words. Luke 4:17, here's where we close tonight. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, here's the Son of God, but he ministered as a man. And remember earlier in Luke, he went down to the water, and John didn't want to, but he baptized him in water. Then when he baptized him in water, why would Jesus need to be baptized in water? Baptized in water. Then the Holy Spirit, the dove of the Holy Spirit came, and he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And only then was he tested by the devil and then sent out to ministry. He never ministered until he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But now he's saying something in addition. Jesus is saying, baptized in the Spirit as a man. As a man, he needed that as a man. Not as God. He laid aside his glory as God. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Now, is the Spirit of the Lord upon you now? You need the Spirit of the Lord on you now. I need the Spirit of the Lord on me now. I need the anointing of the Word continually. And I'm not going to teach on them. I've done it before. I was a Christian. There's five things. There are five parts of the covenant of life and blessing, of blessedness in you. And the blessing and the life that is in you, as you act and speak on the Word, you will bring that life and blessing. You will bring blessedness. You will bring blessedness. Full, complete satisfaction. God fills. God is the only one that can fill you and satisfy you. I mean, I don't care what is in the world. It won't satisfy. It won't last. Nothing in the world lasts. But what God has given satisfies. And the five parts that bring this blessing are, first, witnessing the gospel to the poor. Witnessing. Not just preaching. But everyone is to be a witness. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses. Because the Holy Spirit will cause you to receive healing. Receive being saved. Receive baptism in the Holy Spirit. Receive, and you witness out of what you receive. You witness out of the life of what you receive. You don't witness about ideas. You don't read this idea. Well, that sounds nice. You just a witness about it. No, you won't. You won't even witness about ideas, unless you're an ideologue, theologian, maybe. But I mean, the average person witnesses to what they've experienced. And what they've experienced, people want to know something real.
And they know when they hear something real. I've been saved. Man, my life has changed. Hallelujah. I've been healed. I've been delivered. Hallelujah. I want to hear something real. Healing the brokenhearted. That's the broken spirit. If your spirit's broken, you can't walk in faith. You can't walk in the spirit. And a lot of people have a broken spirit. Broken heart. Broken spirit. But Jesus can heal a broken spirit. He'll make your spirit whole. He'll make your heart whole. He will. He can. If you will believe him. Three, proclaiming and that speaking, release to the captives. He's provided release to the captives. These are all things that need to flow out of you from the blessedness and the life that is in you. Healing. Broken out of, proclaiming, release to the captives. They're bound, all bound, totally bound up by Satan. These are people who are demonized. Four, recovering the sight of the blind. He will heal your physical condition. Someone, the Lord said, who wants to heal someone tonight physically? I don't know what's here, what you need to be healed from, but God wants to heal you, wants to touch you. And finally, setting free those who are oppressed. Their mind is oppressed. They're downtrodden. How many of the world's people, even Christians, are oppressed by in their mind? They're depressed. They're fearful. All kinds of these negative emotions are pressing down on them. And Jesus will set you free. If we had read on in Galatians, we would see that in the covenant, it was for freedom, and he set us free. He wants to set you free. If there's something in your life that is keeping you in bondage, he wants to set you free. Can you get it in your heart? Can you believe it and receive it? God wants to let it flow. And he wants you to receive his blessing. You're blessed. You're blessed. The life of God, the blessedness of God, lives in you if you've received it. And he wants you to speak and act so that that life and blessing that you've experienced and you know can flow out to touch other people. And God, you're going to have, in the end time, the Bible is going to be something we've never, ever seen. There's going to be an army of people all around the world who are blessed, and they know they're blessed, and they're praising God. And the power of God is in them, and the power of God is being released, and death and destruction of the enemy is being destroyed and swallowed up in the victory that Christ has won. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!